hour number one of the Dr. Future Show up next.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome to another fine week. Beautiful day in Santa Cruz today, 77 degrees Fahrenheit. Awesome, awesome day. And Mrs. Future, thanks for being in the studio with me, as always.
Always a pleasure, my dear.
She's at the controls. You call in, you're the one that gets to be controlled by her. I just get to talk. So welcome all. We have a really interesting show today. At 2:30, we have our Apple expert coming in. Actually, he's here now, but we're going to keep him muted until the time. That's Taylor Barcroft to talk about Apple, all things Apple, and the iPhone 8 and iOS 11 and the Apple 10 and all that good stuff. So that'll be coming up at 2:30. And at 3 o'clock, we have a very unusual enigmatic guest checking in, Jill Love, who is an international artivist, a beautiful model-level body, just incredible, beautiful woman who uses her body and her art to make statements about things, everything from offshore oil rigs to bullfighting in Spain.
Yeah, she draws attention to suffering and abuse and tries to raise people's conscious awareness and appeal to their humanity.
And she'll be on from 3 to 3:30 today. And at 3:30 to 4, we're going to have more open lines and other news worthy of discussion for the show. So with that, shall we begin?
Ready when you are. Okay. Lifting off now, Dr. Future Show. And if you do feel like you want to comment on something that you're here or add something to the show, we are at 831-479-1080. Always open to the audience chiming in.
Yeah, so first things first, we were almost hit by some big solar flares this
week.
We
meaning Earth?
Earth, yeah, we being all of us. Yes, the
not
largest
just you
solar
and me
flare.
In our travels.
No, this is one of the things that hit us from the backside. It can be intense. It could be as big as an asteroid.
Right. Hit. Well, it sounds like it was detected, but I haven't seen any news of it actually hitting us. So.
No, not on the large size. We haven't had any really large ones since the Carrington event of 1859, which was huge. And it set the infrastructure for telecommunications of what it was at the time, which is basically telegraphs, on fire. It set stations on fire everywhere.
Yeah. Do not want to be in the target practice of the sun.
So this last week, we had the largest solar flare in 12 years and the eighth largest since modern records began, which has only been as recently as 1996, believe it or not. It's unusual for us to see this number of solar flares this quickly, say our scientists. And the information about them could, if we know more about them, we may be able to help prevent some disaster that can happen from them.
Yeah, like unplug all of our appliances before the solar flare hits the planet.
Yeah, or duck and cover and get away from the flares, get underground. Anyway, this was the largest of X-category flares. There were three X-category flares over a period of 48 hours just this last week. So if you want to know more about that, we suggest you go to spaceweather.com. Space Weather is a great place to find out about such cosmic events.
All right, so this was a gigantic solar flare.
Three of them.
Oh, three in a row.
Yep.
Wow.
So keep that in mind. Also in our space news, we had a Martian experiment going on the Big Island.
Oh, yes, the NASA SEAS program, right? What happened in the Hawaiian Mars program?
Yes, good play. If you're going to go to Mars, you might as well go to Hawaii.
I tell you, it makes me want to sign up for a Martian mission. Hang out by Mauna Loa in Hawaii for a few years.
There you go. Yeah, six NASA-backed research subjects had been cooped up in a Mars-like habitat near a Hawaiian volcano on the Big Island, and they emerged from isolation on Sunday after 8 months of being isolated from civilization. Four men and two women, part of a study to understand the psychological impacts of a long-term space mission. Because if you're around six people for months and months at a time,
in a fairly cramped space,
you better get along.
Well, I suppose the Hawaiian environment couldn't hurt in that department.
Well, remember, they were isolated. They were inside, cooped up inside this habitat.
Unless they put on their spacesuits and tromped around outside.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. They did do that. They did have little spacesuits wandering around near the volcano in spacesuits. And they've been learning a lot about the right mix of traits to cope with stress, isolation, and danger on a 2 to 3 year trip to Mars. NASA's hoping that the 2030s now will be our target dates for actual NASA-sponsored mission.
For colonization.
Yeah. So quarantined for 8 months near the summit of Mauna Loa, the world's largest active volcano. That could be fun if it erupted. Boy, oh boy. So after finishing their stint, guess what they did? They're coming out after 8 months in isolation.
Let's see. If I was in Hawaii, I would probably come out and get some papaya.
Ding, 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 ding. That's right. That's right.
Because you probably can't grow that on Mars.
They feasted on papaya, pineapple, and mangoes. It was something they didn't have for those 8 months, even though they were on Hawaii.
Right, but they were on Hawaii in the volcano zone. Nothing
right.
grows there.
So you might ask, what did they eat in their small little dome for 8 months? Mm-hmm. You want to guess? Freeze-dried.
Right.
Freeze-dried.
Just add water type food.
Yes, and canned food. Mm-hmm. On their simulated voyage to Mars.
Except for the few fresh vegetables that one of the crew members grew.
So true. Mission biology specialist Joshua Ehrlich grew fresh vegetables. So they had carrots, peppers, bok choy, Chinese cabbage, mustard greens, radishes, tomatoes, potatoes, parsley, and oregano. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So anyway, they're happy. They learned about the importance of psychological programming, emotional literacy issues, something we've talked about on other shows, how to get along when arguments come up, which can do in such situations. Mm-hmm. And they're now looking at all of these issues and hopefully including them in creating the criteria for choosing people to travel together to Mars.
So if these are young astronauts, then they have to now wait 15 years before their mission is ripe. So, you
know,
that's
a
lot of life that can happen between now and then.
That's true. And they might actually know how to get along with each other more.
Yeah, it might be they have to send their kids.
So their little shelter is about the size of a small two-bedroom house and has a small sleeping quarters for each member and a kitchen lab and a bathroom. And they shared one shower and they had two composting toilets for six of them.
Well, I'm glad they had more than one.
Yeah, two composting toilets.
That probably cut down on the conflict, just the fact that they didn't all have to share one bathroom.
One shower, though.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you don't need as many showers on Mars.
No hot tubs. Now, Hawaii, you'd expect a hot tub.
You would expect a hot tub. I would expect that if you were bringing enough water to handle all of your needs because you weren't expecting to find any there, a hot tub would be very handy. In fact, you'd want a hot tub as one of the ways of cycling the water. You'd have plenty.
Let me send a letter to NASA here on that. Please include hot tub on the Mars expedition. Okay, good.
Good job.
Okay, so we have
to go to a break.
Okay, good. All right, let's do that, and we'll come back with some more stories from Dr. Future.
All right, folks. Hope you're enjoying the show. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We've got some other news on our solar system backyard here. Mm-hmm. One of the mysteries of the dark side of Venus has been revealed this week.
The dark side of the Venus.
Yes.
I didn't know the dark side of Venus was a mystery till now.
You didn't?
Till now.
Well, okay. We're so ignorant of our own backyard. It's ridiculous.
That's true.
Yeah. Though, again, most citizens can't even tell where Iraq is on a map.
Yeah,
or Afghanistan.
That's true. We barely know our Earth neighbors, much less our planetary solar system neighbors.
Well, That's no excuse. We should know. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Venus.
Why we're finding out today.
Yes. Venus, for a long time, was considered a sister planet, about the same size as us. Seemed like a nice place to live until we got closer and noticed that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
As a runaway greenhouse effect, what could happen if climate change got out of control? Venus is the poster child of that.
Mm-hmm.
Temperatures of hundreds of degrees, I say 700-800 degrees on the surface. Horrible hurricane level winds all the time.
It sort of seems like Venus is just out of the Goldilocks zone because the planet got closer to the sun, and as it got closer to the sun, the orbit slowed down so that a day on Venus is interminably long now.
Well, it's considered the slowest turning planet in the solar system. A day on Venus is 234 days on Earth. 234 Earth days is one Venusian day.
Oh my goodness.
It turns really slow.
Wow. Can't imagine a 9-to-5 on Venus.
And because it turns really slow, it's been harder to extract good info about Venus's dark side. Mm-hmm. As its nights are very, very long.
Okay? Right.
So to know more about this, a group of international researchers decided to take a look at the dark side of Venus with the help of a visible and infrared thermal imaging spectrometer, or VIRTIS for short.
Mm-hmm.
Visible and infrared thermal imaging spectrometer.
Fascinating. Looking for heat spots.
Mm-hmm. That was on a European Space Agency ship called the Venus Express. And the results were quite astonishing. As they looked at the dark side of Venus with the VIRTIS device, they got to know that the swirling atmosphere and strong and powerful winds of Venus got more intense and chaotic on the night side than on the day side.
Really?
More stormy, more nasty than ever. They looked at these clouds from above, and they were able to determine wind speeds were like 60 times faster on the dark side. Super rotation of storms. So it didn't look like it was really fun to be on the dark. It has not a lot much fun to be on the light side of Venus, for that matter. So this is just out. It's Venus Express now knows that the nights of Venus are way more vigorous than the day side, and that they generate big, wavy, irregular-looking clouds that contain filaments in them, like patterns that you don't see on the sunny side. So these weird clouds probably have something to do with the intense vortexing and the weather there. So the topography of the planet seems to be influencing the elements in the clouds. Maybe these high winds are pulling more stuff from the ground into the atmosphere and creating strange kinds of clouds. They're starting to look more closely at this to see exactly WTF, you know. They're not sure. But it appears that the clouds are big, wavy, and glittery. And very strong vortexing. Hmm. Like 700-mile vortexes. So it kind of makes our hurricanes look like kindergarten. Even wow. The big ones in the Caribbean right now.
Uh-huh.
Or Irma last week.
Go and hold a candle to Venus.
No. But then again, Venus doesn't have the population that we have.
At least not of humans.
The nice weather. No, it doesn't. It doesn't stop people from trying, though. There have been many studies about Venus, and apparently some think that it's savable, that we could turn Venus around and make it a habitable planet again.
Oh, boy. That sounds exciting.
And it might actually be easier to do that than to actually send people to another star system. It'll certainly take less time in terms of the...
Sure. Let's convert Venus to a habitable planet.
Yeah. How do you stop
it? Sounds easier than getting to Alpha Centauri.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a lot of work to get to Alpha. But we don't even get to Mars. We haven't get to the moon since the 70s. We're a bunch of lazy duffs here. Comparatively.
We're dancing as fast as we can, Dr. Future.
Obsessed with our own little world. And it's ridiculous, considering how big the universe is. I'm sure it's all in its own good time.
Yes. According to Dr. Damer, we have several hundred million years to get ourselves off the planet.
Several hundred? No, I think, I don't think it's that long.
I
think it's like 100 years.
No.
Really? No, that's what Stephen Hawking says. Stephen Hawking says we have to get our act together in 100 years and become a spacefaring civilization, or we're doomed.
Why?
Because we might self-destruct.
Well, see, that's just
because of that,
a depressed guy making a forecast. I'm talking about a scientific forecast, like the Earth getting closer to the sun due to natural gravitational forces. I'm not just talking about suicidal tendencies of psychopathic humans.
Well, a thousand years is, I think, what conservative scientists are saying. Right? I mean, 100 million, that's ridiculous. No, I don't think Bruce would ever say that.
Yeah, but all of these forecasts are really speculative. They're not based on
science. Well, no one really knows, right? We could be hit by an asteroid tomorrow. A solar flare could happen and end our little movie.
My point exactly.
So it's who really knows?
Let's not predict our own demise in 100 years or 1,000 years and assume that we will solve the problems we need to solve. I mean, look at this experiment on Mauna Loa. We're learning how to understand interpersonal conflict and come up with strategies to mitigate it.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we can do that.
We'll get better at that.
We have good emotional literacy
more.
Training. Yeah. There's some people are saying that the world's going to end on September 23rd.
Coming right up here.
Right. Is there anything to that?
It gives us 4 days.
No.
All right, unlikely. Folks.
End of the world 2017.
Let's hope not.
September 23rd. I think that's a biblical doomsday claim.
Okay. Well, there have been 2 devastating earthquakes in Mexico City. So
that's true.
You know, for the doomsday watchers, the omens are getting pretty thick.
But I ask you this. If the world ends, what then? What kind of fun are we going to have then?
Well, the world did end on June 6, 2012, when the Venus transit happened.
Well, maybe there's almost something to the multiverse and
so
the
it's
universe
already over.
Split. Right, maybe the
we're
part that
the
destroyed
new world
left.
Now.
We're always the one that survives.
And we're in the new moon of the new world, because, you know, last night was a new moon. So
yeah.
I say stick to your optimism, look forward, don't look back. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Just look forward.
Yes, yes. Well, comments in the peanut gallery
peanut
after
gallery.
The next news. All right, Taylor.
You have 5 minutes until you can chime in.
Anyway, chapter 12 of Revelations. Those who are into that are saying that that's September 23rd. If that happens, then you won't hear from us next week. But chances are you will. After this break, we're going to hear from our expert in Apple, all things Apple.
A big future and a great future.
Yeah, so consider,
and we're going to get there one way or another.
Yes, and hopefully with an iPhone 8 or 10. Or what happened to 9? That's what I want to know.
All right, CBS News coming right up. Stay tuned, folks.
After
and
the break.
A few breaks.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. This half hour, we have Taylor Barcroft in the studio to really give us his download on the Apple announcements of last week, where this is the 10th anniversary of the Apple iPhone. You expect something really great. What do you think, Taylor? Do you think it was great?
I thought it was awesome.
You did? Okay, because some thought it was underwhelming.
Not. The only reason it's underwhelming is because there were no surprises.
Ah,
because
all
everything,
the leaks.
Everything was leaked the week before. There was very little that was news, but
what came out was
the products are incredible. The A11 processor is the most amazing processor in the history of processors.
So this is faster.
Apple's
than
making its own GPUs now.
Yeah. So their hardware is becoming more integrated.
More integrated.
As they buy their
better
own,
than ever. Yeah. Bionic.
Now, if I have a 7, would you upgrade to an 8 or a 10 or what?
10.
Yeah.
If you can afford it.
What is the difference between the iPhone 8 and the 10? These are 2 new phones coming from Apple this year, and one is several hundred dollars more than the other, right?
Not by much. But I would like to just preface this by saying that we can't really go into the details that people need to go into to figure out what they're going to do. They should watch videos like the Zone of Tech series and
Zone of Tech
and read a lot of stuff, read a lot of articles. Yeah, if we can go through it step by step. There was the Apple TV 5.
Yeah, we're talking about all the new intro.
That one you want if you have an ultra-high-def TV.
Okay,
otherwise, you don't do it.
Yeah, that's the big thing is that the 4K, that finally Apple TV is supporting 4K.
Yeah, but it's only $200 for the 64. It's really a good deal.
Yeah, so for $200, you can get the Apple 4K.
Yeah, and everybody gets their HD movies that they've already bought from Apple automatically upgraded to 4K for no charge.
Right. Right. Okay.
Okay, so that's the Apple TV. Then we got
that sounds good. Okay, so you get
that's good. Okay, then you got the Watch 3.
Yeah, now that's waterproof.
But you know what the deal?
The Wi-Fi capability built in.
But you know what the deal is? People are going to try to decide whether or not to pay for the cell capability $70 extra. But what they don't brag about that you can barely find anywhere is there's an extra 8 gig of storage RAM on there, and you can put 10 gig of music on your watch now instead of 2.
10 gigs from the current series.
Yeah, you get an extra 8 gig in that in that $70 upgrade. So it's worth it to just to get that. I don't care about the cell connection. I care about the 8 gig of storage.
Now, can you operate it without a cell phone, or do you need a cell phone as well?
You can run it without it, but it uses the same number that's on your iPhone.
Okay.
You pay a $10 premium to the cell service providers to be able to do that.
So if you, say, leave your phone at home, you'll still be able to use your phone over your watch.
Yeah, your watch is a phone.
Okay, same phone number. Yeah. Brings them both places.
Oh. Right.
Okay, cool. And it also has more cardio capability from what I could see, that the new watch is tuning into your biometrics more closely than ever.
Well, watchOS 4 is going to do most of that. But the bottom line is, if you want the 42 Watch 3...
That's the 42 with millimeter the cell, size.
Yeah,
screen.
With the cell capability, it's going to be about $500, including tax.
Mm-hmm. And that's the high-end Apple Watch, $500.
Yeah, that's your regular aluminum watch. Is your black or silver or gold?
Is there a Rolodex of Apple, like a gold model?
Yeah, they've got it for $1,300. You get a ceramic, either white or black, or they call it gray.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the watch. Then you got the Phone 8... Mm-hmm. Similar to the 7, but it's got that A11 processor, the A11 Bionic processor.
Bionic, like the Bionic the Man?
Yeah, it's Bionic.
What is that mean?
But it's still Touch ID.
Yeah, okay.
Then you go to...
Hold on. Let's stay there for a moment. Okay, you got the 8, Touch ID. So it's like the 7. Like, if you have the 7, you'll probably love the 8. But if you have a 7... Maybe you
want
to...
No, you're not going to want the 8 if you got a 7.
Yeah, you're going to want the 10, right?
Yeah, the 10.
Yeah, we'll get that in a minute. But also, the other thing about the 8 is that it's got fingerprint recognition, a faster processor, right, than the 7.
Oh, so way faster.
It'll be zippier.
600 billion instructions per second. Can you comprehend that? I mean, that was a wet dream among the Cray computer creators. They could never imagine having 600 billion instructions per second. It's unbelievable.
It is. It is.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, okay, all right,
get that in your pocket?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable. We used to talk about supercomputer in our pocket, but now, you know, with the watch.
Beyond.
It's like the watch is becoming a supercomputer too, right?
Yeah, so definitely.
It's amazing.
There's six cores in the A11, and they all can be run independently and individually.
And
you don't have to run them together in pairs or anything.
Like you had to
run
Intel
chips.
You
can run one, or two, or three, or four, or five, or six.
Mm-hmm. And that's all built now by Apple.
Everything by Apple, including a new GPU that's 30% faster than the third-party GPU.
That's the graphics processor unit.
Right.
Doing all the fancy graphics that we know and love.
Right.
So the 8 is out now?
Yes.
So today is the day that it's...
Today's delivery day.
Oh.
Wait a minute. No, it's Friday. No, Friday's delivery day.
So today is pre-order day?
No, pre-order started last Friday.
Okay. All right. So
they've already sold quite a few over the weekend.
Okay. So the 8s are now the new 7, basically. And the 10 is a revolutionary...
Well, no, the 8's not a 7 because it's got an A11 processor.
Yes, it's faster.
It's way faster.
But it's still got the fingerprint ID. It doesn't have anything really...
Touch ID, LED, or LCD, rather, screen.
Okay, so
1080 by 1920.
So basically, it's an improvement on the 7.
Yeah, better screen.
Yeah, higher res?
No, not higher res, but just...
Better glass?
Better True Tone stuff. I don't know. You got to read all about it. We can't...
Camera?
Camera's the same.
Is it?
12-megapixel camera.
As the 7.
As the 7, yeah. You can do a lot more with the 4K recording.
Hmm.
You can record a lot of, like 60 frames in 4K resolution.
So you can have higher, like 240 frames for slow-mo.
Yeah, 240.
1080p video.
240 a second, yeah.
Gotcha. And 4K video at a higher frame rate, rather than 30, it's probably 60.
It is 60.
Yeah, okay.
But only on the back camera. The front-facing camera...
Still kind of weak.
On both phones, they left it as 7, which means it can't do 4K.
I wonder why that is, because more and more of us are using selfie cameras all the time. It's like becoming a... And yet there's
my
still
guess
way
is
lower
next
res.
Time. My guess is next year.
Yeah, that they'll finally up the res of the
they'll make it. Yeah, they're going to have equal 4K capability next year.
Yeah.
I was disappointed. There's no 512 gigabyte storage option. It's still 256 is the limit.
Yeah, that's the high end.
But they also have compression algorithms in the video so that you can store the 4K in half the space that you could before now.
Great. Yeah, new compression algorithms. I love it. I still, you have the live stills also, where you have each still is actually a short little animation.
That's where that 600 billion instructions per second comes in.
Now, they also tout the iPhone 8 as augmented reality capable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really fun. And that's iOS 11 does that. It's not just the 8.
Okay, so
that does that on anything. 6S and 6. Yeah, 6S, 6S well? Plus, 7, 7 Plus, and 8, 8 Plus, and 10. All do the augmented reality.
Okay, so for the uninitiated, how would you briefly describe augmented reality for the iPhone?
Why don't you do that, Daniel? That's your expertise.
That's true.
I don't know anything about augmented reality. I don't care about augmented reality. I've seen it. I think, big deal.
Essentially, you take whatever is on the computer, combine it with whatever is on the camera, and they become one, shall we say. The computer world and the photography or the real world become
like Star
integrated.
Trek.
And there are various ways of integrating, and that's up to the creativity of the augmented reality programmer. And we'll talk more about that really soon. Anyway, on to the big announcement was the 10, right?
Yeah,
the iPhone 10.
Yeah, it's got the OLED screen is the most obvious part. And the other part is that it's smaller than the Plus series of phones, but
more screen.
Yeah, it's bigger screen. It's a 5.8 inch diagonal. There is this little black area at the top where they put all the sensors and the cameras and everything.
Right.
That doesn't have a display on it. There's little ears on the top, on the left and the right of that black area.
How cute is that?
So it's a little weird. I'm not sure.
Well,
if you're watching high-def TV, I think you miss that part of the screen, part of the image.
Think it might impinge on your viewing habits
viewing
quality.
It could. But the OLED screen, when
it's
black, it's really black because that pixel is not on. It's not black covering up on top of a
it's
light.
It's darker.
It's actually off.
Yeah, really.
So it's a million to one contrast ratio.
So far better contrast than the existing
screen. I'm sure the image is going to just jump off the screen and you'll forget about those ears.
Is it a Wizard of Oz moment, like going from black and white to color?
I don't know. I don't have that. Well, I've got the watch, and I love the watch display, and that's what it's going to be like. The watch is OLED.
Interesting. You know, just give me an idea. I was just reading about Enchroma glasses. You've seen those? They're special glasses you can wear if you're colorblind that it makes you see right. I was thinking whether or not there might be an app that could do that. Anyway, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Apple stuff.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back in a moment. We're talking to Taylor Barcroft about the new Apple products now/week. Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking with Taylor Barcroft on the Apple announcements of last week, and we were just delving a little bit more into the iPhone 10 or X, as some people like to say.
No, don't call it X.
It's not X.
Oh, it's 10 for sure.
All right.
It's a Roman numeral.
Yes.
And please correct anybody that calls it X.
And you notice no one's ever asked about 9?
So that's next year.
It is.
Yeah.
This year's 10 and 8, and next year's 9.
Yeah, 9 and 10 and 11 or 10 plus or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the thing about the 10, are we going to talk about the 10 now?
Yes, and we're having
go to apple.com and choose 10.
Coming in, if you want to ask about Apple stuff, 479-1080, area code 831. Please call with her last 10 minutes on the Apple.
By the way, iOS 11 launched today.
Yes.
And today is September
19th,
2017.
Yes, and there is something very important about that. Before you upgrade to iOS 11, you can check to see which of your apps are not compatible.
Exactly.
With 11. And,
that's in settings.
Yes. You go to settings, general.
About,
and then apps,
applications, and then it shows you a list of what's not compatible with 11.
Yes, and what I've noticed with help from my friend Mark Buchanan, who is an Apple programmer was that you can't just push on them and they'll automatically upgrade if they have one. You actually have to delete these apps from your phone and then go to the App Store and re-download them, which is really silly and really hard to
and
do.
And when you choose one
of
these...
not hard, but it's an extra step.
Yeah, when you choose one of these, it shows you whether or not it's in the App Store or not. And some of them are and some of them aren't.
Yeah. But some of them will just say open when it's not true. And you have to download the new version for it to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, something to...
I've only got, out of hundreds of apps that I've got, I've got 788 apps and I only have 10 that are not compatible.
Yeah, but it might be an app that you really like, or it might be like a recording app where you have dozens of audio recordings.
Yes, I have that. AutoMic is one of them.
By all means... check that.
No. Absolutely. The other thing I want to warn people, don't do it today. Don't download.
Don't update.
Don't update today.
A little loud.
The reason that you don't want to update today is not because there might be something wrong with it, but because the servers might be hosed. That happened to me on the iPhone 6 when I went to 9, and I lost everything because the servers were hosed, and I didn't get a complete download of the update, and it didn't complete, didn't finish, and I had to start all over from scratch. Dude. So, number one,
you don't want to
back
that
it up.
Trade.
Back it up. Make sure you got it backed up. Mm-hmm. You do that in the settings at the top. You select your device, and then you select iCloud Backup. And in there...
iCloud Backup?
Yeah, and then in there, you do Backup Now.
Backup Now, under the iCloud Backup.
Make sure you do that before you do anything else. But I would wait till at least Friday. Sure. I'm going to probably do it on Friday or Saturday. And I would have it plugged in. If you have a Mac or a PC that you use with iTunes that your phone is set up with, that you remembered to plug the phone in right away when you bought it, when you took it out of the box so that you could get it set up with the computer,
because
it's too late now if you didn't do that. But if you did do that and you've got a relationship between your phone and your computer, that's the way to do the update. Don't do it wirelessly unless you have to.
Gotcha. Okay.
And not before Friday or Saturday.
Right. So wait till later. That's your advice.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Now let's look at one of the big features that scare people and got some people excited, and that's the idea of facial recognition.
Remember that the Touch ID and the facial ID all are only happening on your device. They are not transmitted to Apple. Apple doesn't have any servers that are reading everybody's facial
information. It's not automatically going to the NSA database.
It's not. It can't. It's totally self-contained on the phone only.
Okay.
So nobody needs to be scared about anybody taking their facial identity info. That's not going to happen. Apple's really big on keeping things private for people, to have their privacy.
Yeah, okay, so you think it's safe. You know, I had one problem with it in that my friends who like to do 3D modeling would like to have the facial recognition on the other camera so that you can do 3D models of things. You can use your phone to do a 3D model. And that's basically what the facial recognition software is doing. It's making a 3D model of your face.
Developers have access to that kit, that AR kit.
Yeah. Now, can it be
augmented reality kit?
So they can other camera.
I don't know, but I'll bet probably.
Is the facial recognition all in the software then, or is it actual physical
facial recognition
sensors on the phone? You know, it's an actual hardware.
It's happening from that black thing that I said at the top.
Yeah, so it has actual hardware. So you could.
Yes, it has hardware. It puts out 30 points on your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't have that stuff on the back. You're right.
Yeah, so facial recognition is good. It's the same technology that allows you to turn anything into a 3D model. That's the value of that particular type of technology.
Yeah.
You
need that same array that's on the front on the back, and that's not on the back yet.
Yeah, and apparently there are Android models that
will be. I'll bet it will be next time.
Yeah, because there are Android models that do that.
Okay, trust me, the A11 processor puts all those other processors to shame. It's completely way more powerful than anything that any of the other manufacturers offer.
It's worth the ticket to the party here.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a caller, Mrs. Future.
All right. Let's say hello to Mark. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here. Hi, guys.
Hey, Mark. One of our other Apple people out there.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Taylor.
So what gets your attention in this arena, Mark?
Well, certainly the 10th anniversary of the iPhone is a very big deal. Surprise, calling it the iPhone 10, not iPhone X. Maybe the biggest thing about this particular time is the big reveal of the campus, the opening of Apple Park. That's definitely a very big deal.
Oh, yeah.
It was definitely pretty cool to have the first event in the Steve Jobs Theater. And what, gosh, there's, I guess there's 20,000 employees possible in the new Apple Park campus. That's a lot. So they've been building that for years. It was one of the last jobs, vision.
Yeah, the collaborative work will be much more expedited by that building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it definitely had that Jobsian flavor. And it's very cool to have that.
Well, I can't, I'm looking forward to some parties there in the park in the center of the donut. That'll be fun.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
They should be able to use lasers from all around the whole entire circle of the donut to create some excellent 3D and possibly even 4D special effects.
They're going to have some great parties there for sure.
They're going to have a fantastic store.
Yes, and a fantastic store there. So, hail the donut.
Yes.
Spaceship.
The spaceship.
Yeah,
the spaceship. Yep.
Donut spaceship. Great. Now, are you, as a programmer, gearing up for iOS 11? Is this a big deal from a programmer's point of view, the next upgrade?
The augmented reality thing seems to be really the wave of the future here. A lot of people are getting excited about that.
So, as a programmer, you have got the virtual reality development kit then, and you're starting to learn it?
Augmented reality kit. Yeah, that's going to come along with iOS 11. And I think the big news there is that it's not, the augmented reality tracking doesn't require any special hardware. You know, it's just commodity hardware that you can get on your iPhone. Like Taylor was saying, all the way back to the 6S. So that's really the big thing. So after iOS 11 is released kind of overnight, all of a sudden there's hundreds of millions of AR-capable phones in the world.
And what are we doing Google with that? I guess it's a whole new way to explore. What's possible with augmented reality?
Well, it's like virtual reality, but you can look around and see virtual things in your space, but you don't have to wear something on your face. And then the big part is the augmented instead of virtual is that it combines the real world through the camera with the virtual world that's rendered in the phone. And then the hard part, really the core of the technology, is synchronizing the camera's view and the virtual object. So if you have a dinosaur out there on the floor, that as you move around, you get closer to it, it gets bigger, but it stays synchronized and like stuck on the floor, so it seems like it's really there.
Yeah So it's seamless, a better illusion that way. Seamlessly combining virtual with real events becomes,
given that there's no money problem, would you rather develop on the iPhone 10 or the iPhone 8 plus?
I definitely love the 10. That would be awesome. We've been waiting for Apple to do OLED for quite a while, so it's really nice to see Apple giving an OLED screen to us.
Oh, yeah. Before I forget it, don't forget that VirginMobileUSA.com gives you unlimited service. Mm-hmm. They're iPhone-only carrier now. Unlimited service. They use Sprint for $1 for a year. 8 cents a month.
Those are the cheapest cell phone plan you can imagine.
Make sure you take advantage of that. VirginMobileUSA.com.
It's working out for you so far.
You don't
have
to buy anything. You can just move your number to them.
And they'll take iPhones?
That's all they take. There's no Android anymore.
Really? It's the iPhone now.
Well, they have legacy Android members, but it's all iPhone, only iPhone now.
Huh. So what do you have, Mark? You have AT&T?
Yeah, I'm still on AT&T from the original
unlimited. Got to get out of that.
Okay, in the last minute or so, what do we got left here to talk about? 30 seconds?
You have a whole minute, but it's going to be full of music.
All right. So, Taylor, you were recommending that wait till Friday for the upgrade for iOS 11.
iPhone 10, Watch 3. If you have an ultra-high-def TV, the Apple
4K
TV 5.
Apple 4K is pretty exciting.
Yeah 4K Apple 4K. TV developing for that.
Yeah, that's exciting, yeah.
Yeah. Good, okay. Anything else, Mark?
That 4K Apple TV is the first iOS device that supports 4K, so it is rather special.
And Taylor?
This KSCO
Virgin Mobile USA.
Yeah, that's in his mind. Virgin Mobile. Okay, thank you, folks.
Mobile USA.
This is our Apple Half Hour here. Onward.